2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
That was a simple little opening. We didn't have the big grand, lion or
anything. No, we started with disco music.
Don't they know who we are?
Well, that's why I'm doing the thing.
You're doing the disco wave?
Yeah.
Well, at least you're not doing the Travolta dance, the weird thing.
The Bat-Tussi?
No, strange. Hey, welcome to the infamous movie show, St. Patrick's Day. Okay, favorite St. Patrick's Day or Irish movie?
Boom. The Quiet Man.
I was going to say the same thing. Or Darby O'Gill.
And the Little People.
And the Little People, starring Sean Connery.
Yes.
Back when he was kind of, doing his James Bond stuff in that era, and all of a sudden we see him in a sweet little Disney movie.
Yeah.
Very cute. So anyway, happy St. Patrick's Day. You're all in blick. Oh, you got some green on a tennis shoe?
Where's your green, Slick?
It's hidden.
You can't hide it.
It's in my tummy because I ate a Krispy Kreme totally green.
So you want me to pinch your colon or something? How does that work?
Oh, now that's an image nobody ever wants to have in their head.
As soon as I said it, I thought, I can't
bring that back. Okay. How long is the delay button? Does it go at least 15 or 20 seconds? Yeah. Ba-dum-bum. Steve,
you're mute.
You going to be here all day?
I hope not.
That's kind of a universal feeling. Okay, Stephen, we probably ought to do. By the way, we're hanging out with our friends at Sound Sleep Medical.
That's right.
So we're going to be talking with Melissa.
Knock that off.
And hanging out. So and a little new twist on telephone torture today. We're going to.
Oh, no. You're going to do your. Johnny, what have they won? That nonsense?
No. We're just going to. We're going to test the movie knowledge of individuals. So
picturing Hindenburg flying overhead.
A little twist on the old game, as it were. Well, speaking of the old game, we need to do the movie show preview sponsored by Call Climate Services.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences.
The movie show special feature.
We are the special kids. There's no doubt about it. Shazam, Fury of the Gods, we're going to take a look at that. Big movie of the week, by the way. Moving on, we're going to talk about Inside. Oh, I remember we talked about that a while ago. That for those who, what was it, Lighthouse?
The Lighthouse. Yeah.
Okay, for those who loved The Lighthouse, you're going to love this one too.
Well, who can do, going into madness better than Willem Dafoe?
Yeah, you see, he kind of looks a little...
Green
Goblin type look in his eyes, So anyway, we'll be talking about that. Turn Every Page. This is something that I saw a month and a half ago. And it's finally going to be at, Broadway. Right. And this is a really interesting, for bibliophiles and for those who are interested kind of in politics. This is really an interesting thing. It reminded me a little bit of the old Max Perkins book. It wasn't written by Perkins. I think Scott Berg wrote it. But it was called Editor of Genius, and they later made a film about it with Colin Farrell. Hmm. No, not Colin Farrell. Colin Firth, who played the part of Max Perkins, who was the famed editor of Scribner's. And he edited F. Scott Fitzgerald and Thomas Wolfe and, everybody. Marcia Davenport, just on and on and on. And this editor, Gottlieb, also has edited some of the amazing authors of the day, but one in particular, that is the focus of the movie. So the relationship between author and the editor and their topics, I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, the kind of the kingmaker of New York or whether it's LBJ, the kingmaker of the Senate.
You know, the one that cracked me up the most was when they're, we can't call it Catch 18. There's a
I know
already another book coming out with 18. How about
Catch 22? Yeah, Joseph Heller. So anyway, we'll be talking about that movie. I really, really like that. And then streaming, this is the week for Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso started Wednesday.
And really late last night, you know, and I have to admit, when it hit about midnight, I faded a little bit, but it wasn't because of the content. I love Ted Lasso.
Yeah, me too.
And I was really into it, but I'm really anxious to catch up on Ted Lasso, Boston Strangler, Agent Elvis, and Extrapolations.
Extrapolations is a series on Apple TV Plus about a future world where climate change has already kind of taken effect and how it's impacted personal lives.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And Blueback. I forgot to mention Blueback.
Yeah, you were pitching that yesterday. We were hanging out at NPS, and you were telling Julie all about that.
You know, this is the part of my job that I love. When you find a little gem like
you
that.
You have a job?
I think this is a job, is it?
No, not by any standard.
Hanging out with you is hazard pay.
Yeah, ordeal is what they call this.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah, okay.
Blueback. It's an Australian film with Eric Bana and Mia Wasikowska and Roger Mitchell, and it is absolutely
adorable.
I'm anxious
to see that. Let's see, what else do we have on the docket on the movie show today? Special guests will be joining us because, you know, the Zion Indie Film Festival is right here coming up.
Yeah, it starts today.
That's right. So Michelle Moore will be joining us, and an actor who is this will be an interesting interview because I was just getting some notes on him. Haitian born, he's been in Saved by Grace and Angelic Christmas, Running the Bases, also the founder of Christ Over Career. So we're really interested to talk with Cammie Arnett. Cammie, short for Cameron. So that's coming up. Interview, and then Dee's QPWs. I'm hoping she'll make a cameo appearance, but she's kind of up to her eyeballs, as we all are, in grandchildren today.
Grand larva.
So we will see what happens there. Streaming news is coming up. Movie show top 10. We have a plethora of things on the movie show today, including a little fun with telephone torture.
Oh boy,
we'll see how this goes. We're doing a little speculating experimentation on the show today.
Oh, that always works.
Yeah, that always works so well on this show because we're so organized.
Turn
anyway.
Up to 221.
Yeah,
220 is not enough.
220?
220,
are you talking 221. About instead of turning up to 10, you turn it up to 11?
Yeah, kind of.
Notice Christopher Guest, you know, who was there with Jamie Lee Curtis and everything. You know, I haven't seen him in anything. You know, we haven't had a Christopher Guest movie for a while. What was it? For Your Consideration was one of the last ones?
I think so.
And you know, it was so good to see him, but I kind of went, holy cow, he's beginning to show his age, as we all are.
Yeah, he's still a handsome man.
No, he still
man.
Looks great.
Six fingers, though, is kind of...
That six fingers, you know, the man with six fingers. So, anyway, meanwhile, back at the ranch, a lot of inside baseball on today's movie show.
Absolutely.
People are going, six
Hang
fingers? Steve really has six fingers?
Yes.
No, they're toes. All right, on his hand, which makes it really unique. All right, it's 9:15. We'll take a break.
I'm going to call my merchant of death over.
Oh, man.
Yesterday.
Okay, we have to mention this. NPS, you're a great sponsor of the show. When we were there yesterday, you know, we talk about how they have everything.
You know, I thought he was going to pull out a mace.
Well, it was so interesting because, you know, we'd been teasing them, like, you know, what's the weirdest thing in the world? And the only thing that Stacy would say is, well, it had something to do with goats. We found out what it was later. But all of a sudden, this guy comes up, just a really nice guy, and he goes, look what I just bought. And it looks like a medieval torture tool that they would use at the Tower of London for beheadings or something.
Yeah, huge blade.
And it's a ditch blade. It's
Whatever.
A legitimate tool. And this guy, and he was just thrilled with it. A ditch blade. What do you...
Serial killer. Then he works at a hospital.
Yeah, I know, and he's
then
in
I
his
asked
scrubs.
Him, I said, do you work in the basement of the hospital?
And he's in his scrubs, and I think they'll have to sharpen it up a little bit more before they use it for real fine surgery. But, I mean, this thing is like 6 feet tall.
Oh, at least.
At least, and the blade is probably, what, a foot and a half, two feet.
And he was coming towards us.
And it does. It looks just like something you would see in a medieval... You know, battle scene. It was crazy.
He needed an eye patch and kind
of... Walk this way.
Sanctuary.
The Movie Show. It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all. On KSL News Radio.
Kind of reminds me of the milkshake thing. Your milkshake.
I drink it all.
Oh, I know. Wasn't that just a frightening sound? Oh, my goodness. Okay, Stephen. Sir? It is time for the big movie review of the week.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the big movie review. Doug and Steve tell you everything your family needs to know about the biggest release of the week.
Okay, and the biggest release of the week is Shazam, Fury of the Gods. Here we go.
You are very menacing.
I just want you to know that.
A lot has changed in the last few years.
The wizard gave me superpowers. And then everybody got superpowers. All right, here's the situation.
Children stole the power of the gods. You ripped it from our father's core.
Okay, I feel like maybe I should be writing all this down.
You want these powers? Come get them.
Okay. You know, when I walk out, you know, I often say this because, you know, it's interesting how you feel the second you walk out of the movie. Mm. And, you know, and then you tend to think about it a little bit more, and the score might go up, might go down, or maybe you hit it right on. But often for the critics, when we walk out of one of these screenings, there is somebody there from the studio who is just pad and pencil ready to get your inspired thoughts, right? Right. When I walked out of Shazam, I said, you know, this has renewed my faith in superhero movies. And DC had a wonderful sense of humor here. I like this movie.
I know.
And again, I'm not going to be handing out 4 stars and, you know, 4-leaf clovers and, you know, leprechaun dust all over the place. But I enjoyed the movie. I laughed a lot. I was actually able to track with the movie. And there's such a personal story. Each one of these younger superheroes with their now adopted, you know, foster care family.
Yeah.
There is a bond there. There's a story with each and every one of them. These two amazing, interesting people who have adopted these kids and have provided a home at no small, you know, effort on their part. And then the other side of this, you know, they're not neck, the most evil people in the world. They're Atlas's 3 daughters, and they each have a different personality. There was fun, there was sweetness, there was the excitement, a lot of action, but not action that never lets you even catch a breath. I really like this movie, Shazam. I'm thinking maybe there's hope for my not only superhero future, but DC future as well.
Well, the lesson for the studios here is lighten up, Francis.
Yeah.
This is what this is all about. Trying to make sure that you have a good time. These are superhero movies. You know, they're supposed to be fun.
Yeah, people are going here for fun.
And what they did with the unicorns was hilarious. I mean,
you know,
the whole thing.
Yeah, when she goes, I want the unicorns, and then you go, well, you know, they're the baddest.
Yeah, they're the meanest beasts of all. And like, wait, what?
What? But then
how are they going to pull that off? So there's a lot to unfold here, and it is really well done. And Philadelphia will never be the same, especially Citizens Bank Park, where they did the big finale.
Right.
Like, hey, how are they going to get that ready for opening day? Because they really messed that place up.
Yeah, they did.
So, but it's absolutely adorable.
It is. And like I mentioned, there is such a cool story here.
Yeah.
And it isn't just for the super geeks, you know. And, you know, speaking of super geeks, we need to bring, you and Don Brinker off on, because he's our DC go-to here. And Don, you know,
even a DC cameo.
Are you in your Superman uniform or, you know, costume as we speak?
I'm not today, Doug. I should have. I'm sorry.
I'm picturing you with a little, you know, curly Q curl on your forehead.
I have the curl going.
You do have the curl going. So what did you think of this? You're our DC guy.
I liked it a lot. I liked it maybe not as much as you did. And here's why, is that they've announced, James Gunn has announced, this is the end. We're going to blow this universe up. And so I was like, there's so much good in here and so many things that they could have built on. And at the end, I was just like, oh, I don't want to see this go away.
Yeah,
because
well, see,
so
that's
fun.
A good thing.
It was so fun.
Yeah,
when you want more.
Yeah, you want more. So on the legitimate, you know, critics scale, which of course is 1 to 4, how many stars are you giving it?
I'm going to go 3 and a little bit.
You know, I'm 3 and a little bit. Yeah. And on your weird A, B, C, D, E, F, Mrs.
You mean the actual grade that people will actually know?
Uh-huh.
A B.
A B.
Yeah.
We're holy cow, we are on the same page. I can't
believe
it.
PG-13, obviously.
Yeah, PG-13.
Also opening in China, which is huge,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah. Well, you know, what could the Chinese not like in this?
I don't know.
They can
maybe they don't like unicorns.
You know, the one thing that I would say is there's some language in here that
was a little bit of kind of a whoa, wait.
There's one particular thing where it was like, wait, the little girl said that?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like Adventures in Babysitting moment, you know, where you go, ooh, wow.
Uh-oh.
But at least it wasn't pervasive. So yeah. There you have it. The movie that we're talking about is Shazam, the Fury of the Gods, and that's the big movie review of the week, and sponsored today by our friends at Paris.
Yes, that's right.
RV. So there you go.
It's the world-famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
Isn't that great to know that we're world-famous now?
Well, the announcer said it, so it must be true.
They used to use the word infamous, but at least we've gotten out of that, and now it's famous.
Well, we'll go back to it.
Yeah. Every week we do our part on that. Steven, I think it's time for a little movie news.
All right.
Not just any news.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Movie news.
Action!
On the KSL Movie Show.
Okay, James Gunn will direct Superman Legacy. And it's official. He was, of course, the guy with the Guardians of the Galaxy director, now DC Studios co-chief. And it's the upcoming, you know, it's interesting in this article that I was reading. They say he will helm the upcoming Superman reboot.
Yeah.
But then later on in the article, they say, now, this is not a reboot. This is not an origin story.
Well, it kind of sounds like it
might
be.
And you kind of go, what are you talking about? Anyway, Superman Legacy, he said, this is James himself. Yes, I am directing Superman Legacy to be released on July 11th. Dee'll be happy about that. That's her birthday.
Of 2025.
Of 2025. Yeah, we need to kind of sneak that in there. And it's interesting. He said that he saw a way in many ways centering around Superman's heritage, how both his aristocratic Kryptonian parents and his Kansas farmer parents basically inform who he is and the choices he makes.
How is that not an origin story?
So I know it's just kind of – and then this is the line. They stress that Superman Legacy is not a reboot, but it will kickstart the new recalibrated DCU.
Recalibrated.
Well, yeah, recalibrated. And then they say it's not an origin story. And that's from Safran, you know, Peter Safran. So, I don't know. I'm totally confused. But apparently it will follow up. They're going to follow up after Superman Legacy with kind of the reboot of the whole DC universe with team-up flick, The Authority. And then also Batman project titled The Brave and the Bold, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, a Swamp Thing reboot, a Wonder Woman prequel series titled Paradise Lost, the animated series Creature Commandos, a series centered on Amanda Waller, a Green Lantern series titled Lanterns, and a series
well, that'll do it.
About Booster Gold. So I don't know. Maybe with what we just saw in Shazam, there's hope.
Well, if they screw up Shazam, they've really screwed up because that's a little nugget all on its own.
It is.
Leave it alone.
It is. Okay, Stephen, what do you have?
Well, Barry Keoghan, who was a supporting actor nod for Banshees and Inisherin, what a sweet little role that
was. Yeah, it was.
He's in talks to join the cast of Paramount's Gladiator sequel. Ridley Scott is going to return to direct, and he will be working with Oscar-nominated Paul Mescal. Now, I don't know if you saw this movie, After Sun, but if you noticed on the best actors list, he was one of them, and, you know, just out of nowhere. He's set to star in it. And, you know, I can't believe they've waited this long because the 2000 film made $460 million, had 12 nominations, and won 5 Oscars, including Best Picture.
Okay.
Remember Liz Taylor?
Oh, yeah.
And the winner is Gladiator.
Yeah, I know.
That was hysterical.
That was an interesting moment. You know, I love it when they bring out some of the legendary stars. But sometimes there's kind of a fine line.
Yeah,
where, remember Bette Davis?
Oh,
man, that was awkward, uncomfortable, and oof. You know, and then
Liza Minnelli, when she came out in the wheelchair,
and then there was, remember when they got the Best Picture wrong?
Oh,
and but that was the card. I mean, you know, you can't blame that on Warren Beatty and, you know, Faye Dunaway. But yeah, you have to be really careful when you've got the really great vintage actors.
Right. You don't want to make them look silly.
Yeah, it has to be just right. Okay. Smile 2. Filmmaker Parker Finn is really happy, signing a major deal with Paramount Pictures and developing new movies for the foreseeable future for Paramount. Last year, of course, Finn made waves with the debut of Smile. Now, I never saw Smile.
I didn't either.
I'm not big.
Kind of freaked me out a little bit.
I'm not big on these types of movies, but no further details have yet been divulged, but word is that Smile 2 is one of the top priorities for Paramount, rather. With Finn returning to write and direct, and it did not bad money
based on
the budget. So Smile 2, you can rest assured, is in the works.
Yay. Well, Quentin Tarantino has announced that his 10th and final movie will be called The Movie Critic. And before you freak out, it's going to be based on Pauline Kael, who was the New Yorker's film critic forever.
Yeah.
And she was brilliant, and he loved her. She loved him.
Well, and critics, we were talking about this off the air, and you pointed out, critics have generally loved Tarantino.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's some of his movies have pushed me over the edge, but there is true genius there.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
He knows how to put visuals together and scenes that are just going to... So we'll see, but he says this will be it. Last movie.
Okay. Megan, this is a little movie that caught both you and me off guard, and Megan had massive success, and a sequel is now in development with comic book interview with comic book Megan director Gerard? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
John Stone, he's talking about what's coming up in the sequel. He said, hey, we're still working on it, but he admitted that he was feeling a lot of pressure making that sequel because, you know, that first one was awfully successful. He confessed that they were taken by surprise by the success of the film. Part of the reason, he claims, is because the dance was put in the trailer, and it was, you know, it went viral on TikTok and everything else, and he said, I'm not quite sure, you know, where we're going to go with Megan 3.
Yeah, the marketing on that was absolute genius.
It was brilliant. And when you get things on TikTok, things are going viral. I mean, this is something that 20 years ago, you go, what? TikTok? What's that?
It's like the same thing like the Wednesday dance, you know?
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, exactly. And you saw their little homages to that. Oh. And, you know, everywhere.
Little third world villages, kids are out there doing that dance. It's
doing the Wednesday dance, yeah. So are we done?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Done.
That's it for our movie news here on The Movie Show at KSL News Radio. Steve, still to come on The Movie Show. In our next segment, right after the top of the hour, our friend Michelle Moore will be joining us along with a special guest, actor. We're going to be talking about the film festival that is underway right now.
Used to be the LDS Film Festival,
right.
And now it's the Zion Independent.
Yeah, and last year, you know, our friend Cal Gunderson got kind of a Lifetime Achievement Award for
that. Was really cool.
You know, for so many years, of course, he was the person that booked all of the movies for the Megaplex theaters going clear back to the very beginning. I love the story that Cal always tells. You know, they've practically got Jordan Commons built, ready to go. And finally, somebody goes, I think it was Larry, goes, well, how do we get the films? And that's where Cal and everybody came in, because that had such a long legacy in booking films. So that was great last year. So we'll talk with Michelle more.
He hates it when we bring up the story about how he turned down Star Wars.
Turned down Star Wars, yeah. But, you know, of course, we would never do that.
Yeah.
You know, because we love Cal so much.
He was on board for the next one, though.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he certainly signed up for The Empire Strikes Back. So, and also, coming up, we're going to talk about some streaming things, telephone torture. We've got the movie show Top 10, a plethora of things. Plus, we're going to be talking about moving on, and if you really want a movie to kind of put you in a funk. If Lighthouse wasn't good enough several years ago, you might want to just do a doubleheader. Watch Lighthouse and Inside.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe. What he came up with at one point, I thought I would have done that day one.
Yeah.
But, anyway.
Yeah, there were a couple of things. And
thought,
dude,
what are you doing?
If you like, you know, beautiful, fresh saltwater fish, you know, there are a couple of difficult
might
moments
be tasty.
In store for you.
This is a bizarre film, no question.
Oh, totally bizarre. So all of that, and then, of course, things that are happening in streaming, which for me the highlight is Ted Lasso. I'm really excited to...
Yeah, 12-episode season, and the first one starts on Wednesday and will be subsequent Wednesdays for the rest of the next 12 weeks, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that?
Who knows?
I don't think so.
But I know that's the gist we're getting, is that this is the final season. That's kind of been declared, but you never know for sure.
He said the other day, he says, when we get to the end of season 3, you'll know why we're doing what we're doing.
Okay. All right. Oh, man. But that's the way to go out, you know, while people still wish you were staying.
Now, he says possibility of spinoffs.
Spinoffs, yeah.
Could happen, so.
The Movie Show.
Spock, you haven't changed a bit. You're just as warm and sociable as ever.
Nor have you, Doctor, as your continued predilection for irrelevancy demonstrates.
On KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show, the dramatic music here.
Oh, yes.
Pretty cool.
Gone with the Wind.
We got to talk a little bit about the Academy Awards. You know, we had a little, you know, our friends Lauren and Lillian, they came down and we were watching, and you know, it was, you know, it didn't have anything like the moment we had last year, but boy, there were a lot of cryptic jokes about that.
I thought Kimmel handled all that pretty
too.
Well.
I thought he handled it really well.
He kind of reminded me of old school, like the Carson,
Bob Hope, and Billy Crystal, you know, who would kind of, that sent out a real zinger, but it wasn't, you know.
Not mean-spirited.
Mean-spirited,
like
off the chart.
Ricky Gervais.
The only thing that I kind of went, ooh, you know, because it deals with the memoriam, it deals with death. And then when he kind of had the crack about Robert Blake, you kind of went, ooh.
Well, speaking of in memoriam, where was Paul Sorvino?
I know.
Anne Heche.
I know.
Tom Sizemore was a guest on our show.
I know.
That seemed. And I get that there's a lot of people in the industry, but when they show, you know, assistant editor Fred. And
I mean, you know, for most of the viewing audience, I mean, some of those people, I mean, you know, you and I, you know, we're movie fans and everything, and Dee loves movies and has even worked for the Disney studios and so on. But, you know, some of those names you just go, who in the world is that? And, yeah, I'm sure that if somebody sat down and really explained, you know, what they did, we'd be kind of blown away. But when they do, like Anne Heche, I mean, you think of that and you think of some of the other. Tom Sizemore, he was so much fun to interview and just really nice guy.
But Paul Sorvino, come on.
Sorvino, I know.
Dude, that was...
Yeah, that was amazing.
The other thing that threw me off was the middle of the broadcast, they do that Disney ad for Little Mermaid. I mean, they literally came out and introduced
the trailer. The ad. But, you know, at first, I was kind of, well, what in the world is that? And I thought, well, then later when they did the Warner Brothers tribute, you know, because
well, that
the
makes
100
more
years.
Sense.
But I thought, well, maybe, you know, of course, Disney owns ABC, so, you know, who knows. But I thought, well, maybe that was kind of Disney's, because they came up with the logo 100 years, you know, like everything. I thought, well,
but that wasn't what that was.
I know. But I thought, well, maybe that's what they decided. You know, like, hey, we want to do a tribute for Disney's 100 years. And now just play our trailer.
Well, the thing is, it cost them $10 million.
That went in one hand and out into the other hand.
I just, put it in this book and write it over in this book.
I know, exactly.
So that was good.
So was there anything that really surprised you? And I'll tell you what surprised me. I loved Brendan Fraser in the Whale.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just got the feeling he wasn't going to win. And so I was sitting there, you know, just going, it's going to be Colin Farrell and it's going to be, you know. And when they announced Brendan Fraser as the Whale, I just, you know, for winning in that role, I thought, I'm really surprised, but I'm really, really pleased. But that did really surprise me.
The other one, the one that threw me off was the look on Angela Bassett's face when Jamie Lee Curtis won for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah.
And I love Jamie Lee Curtis, and her whole vibe is beautiful. But Angela Bassett, I think, she was wearing, you know, the crown of like, okay, this is mine, and oh,
yeah,
it's not.
I know.
And
I know.
Then when David Burns came out and did that number.
Oh, what was that?
That was from the movie Everything Everywhere.
I know.
All at Once. It didn't even sound like a song. I mean, it was like, what is happening right now?
I know. Everybody, you know, in our little group was going, what are we watching? What's happening? I mean, it was, well. You know, the one that I love, though, and I still haven't seen RRR.
Oh,
you know, our film critics association just loves that movie.
That's on Netflix, by
but
the way.
That musical number was smoking. I love that.
Except that a lot of the people that were in that number were not, you know, of Indian descent. So they were a lot of people like, we have people from India that can do that dance, and we're part of that movie. Why are you not using them?
Yeah, but still, I mean,
I know,
watch it for the entertainment.
But I'll tell you what, RRR is one of the most action-packed films you will ever see.
And
ever.
I'll tell you, everybody that I know, though, has gone, well, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, what is that movie? And, you know, and last week, Jeff Kaplan asked me a question, and I honestly didn't bite on it the way I should. He said, so, Doug, you know, when I come, how many, you know, Marvel movies are nominated? And, you know, and I got the point of what he was trying to say. Like, here are the crowd pleasers. Here are the ones that everybody loves to see. But for real people who see real movies, so I was trying to remember how many are nominated. Like, duh. But, you know, really.
Well, Angela. I mean, that was.
That was about it.
Yeah.
That was about it.
And some effects and sound.
Well, and then the question could have been like, you know, hey, do you think, well, and we talked about this, is Top Gun going to win one measly little award? And you go, you know, there were lots of places I thought they'd throw it a bone. And the only place was sound.
Yeah.
That kind of surprised me.
That's hard to. Yeah, Everything was such a strange movie. It was not my first choice.
You know, and you know, you've tried to give it a second shot.
I watched it three times.
And I'm going, you know, I appreciate what Michelle Yeoh is doing. I appreciate some of the cleverness and some of the visuals here. But are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, and I had so many people come up to me, and nobody went, whoa, wow, I'm so glad that won. Not one person said that to me.
It seems like a younger audience, no offense to us, but a younger audience seemed to embrace that film a lot more than we did.
I guess.
Or I mean, just, you remember the critics, you know, when we had our voting.
Oh, absolutely loved it.
We were like, Top Gun, nope.
Yeah. So any other surprises?
I just thought it kind of felt like meat and potatoes. They got down to it. They went through it. Jimmy was, I thought, a really good host.
I did too.
And so there wasn't anything that, you know, really stepped out at
me. They did. They got down to business.
Right.
They really did. And, you know, rather than making this a 3.5-hour deal that's not only going through although they did get a little late into the next program, but I've seen it where it went so long it blew into the local news and everything else. So.
I still think, though, there's categories that they could, you know, do before the show. I know everybody's like, oh, no, that's my sister's boyfriend, whatever. I just thought, you know, when you get down to some of the little, like, editing and things like that, nobody cares.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Academy Awards. It'll be interesting to see what pops this year. And, you know, I
think they should keep Kimmel for a while.
I do, too.
I
do,
mean,
too.
You know, let him do the Bob Hope thing for a while and see what happens.
Yeah. And, you know, really, when you go back that, I mean, Bob Hope, that's a long time ago. Johnny Carson, that too is a long time ago. Billy Crystal now is getting to be a long time ago. But that's the way it used to be, you know, 5-6 years, you know, they'd do it. And you kind of got used to it. It became kind of like the host of the show for a period of time.
Except, you know, when you don't want to experiment, you've got a guy that you know what he's going to do. Then that. Right.
The Movie Show.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, the actor?
On KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show here at KSL today, and we are very pleased to have two very special guests with us. First of all, our friend Michelle Moore. We have known Michelle forever, the co-director of the Zion's Indie Film Festival, and also Cameron Arnett, an actor who is here with us.
He's an actor.
You know, yes, he trod the boards, absolutely. And we just tread the bards. So what can we say? Good to have you both with us. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having us.
Have you already survived, you know, Cameron?
You ready to go?
I mean, the movie show so far, are you okay?
You guys are just having too much fun.
That's true.
Okay, this is kind of ridiculous, but, you know, we're going to go ahead and go with it.
You know, people ask me sometimes, well, explain the movie show. And I go, there's no explanation, and there's no excuse.
It's madness.
It just is. Hey, Michelle, how you doing?
You know, we're halfway through the film festival, so I'm a little sleep deprived, but we're having a blast down at the Sierra.
Yeah, you guys are up to your eyeballs in this right now. And, you know, by the way, you know, we were talking about our friend, you know, Cal Gunderson, whom we have known for years and years and years. And you were giving us, can we mention on the air?
We can mention it. It's in our program, so other people have been seeing it.
You're just picking off all my friends here.
You've got Michelle.
I'll tell you, Carol Makeda is just legendary.
She is.
And I've known her for, gosh, 40-plus years now. She is amazing. And what's the actual name of the award?
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Lifetime Achievement. Okay, good. I got that right. I couldn't remember for sure. But that is great.
Yeah,
that
is going to be fun. We're super excited she's our recipient this year. You know, there's so many different facets that go into filmmaking and promoting the films and just letting the public know about movies, especially for our festival, those that inspire and uplift.
Yeah. Like
that's our focus. And Carol has done, as well as you and Steve. I told you off, you know, before we got on that you guys are up for nomination too, but Carol won this year.
Hall of Fame voting won.
Yeah. That's right. So when the festival is 101 years old and we will get a posthumous.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
What do you think?
Spit on our grave.
Yeah, well, after what we did to the goat, huh? I had
nothing to do with the goat.
We just reported on the goat. Cameron, we've got to talk about you. You know, I was just doing a little updating on that. I mean, Haitian-born, you've been in all kinds of movies. But this one got my attention, Founder of Christ Over Career. I mean, here are all these movies, all these things, and for some reason that just jumped off the page. Tell me about that. What is that?
Well, Christ Over Career is an international movement right now. Basically, it came out of me coming out of Hollywood. They offered me the option of doing partial body nudity. I had come from Toronto doing a movie of the week. And as a Christian, I just told them that I couldn't do it. And basically, all hell broke loose. And so since then, my wife and I, we pastored for 2 decades. And during that time, God brought us back into the filmmaking, but as Christians. And we've been doing that ever since 2013.
Yeah.
And since then, 37 films, maybe 5 or 6 different television series, and it has been phenomenal. But going through and teaching in the festivals, teaching in the churches, you realize that every Christian would have not made the same decision as to put Christ over their career.
No, the pressure is just...
The pressure is enormous. And what happens is that God gives you a drive, a passion to accomplish certain things. So it's like, it's almost like, you know, you're wired to begin with to do what you do, and then you're being offered how to do it in an incorrect way. And so you almost have to fight against your wiring. It's not like God is saying to you, I don't want you to be an actor, I don't want you to be a producer, those kind of
right.
things, but do it with me, for me, because of me. Mm-hmm. And so when we give them that perspective, they begin to see the light turns on that, wait a minute, it's not that God is saying I can't do this, but he wants to be over it, and he wants me to do it the right way, and that's what this is all about.
You know, I've thought about that over the years because, you know, I've been at KSL for 45 years. Prior to that, I was a rock and roll disc jockey and, you know, and just loved it and everything. But I would look at the rock stars, and I would look at the celebrities, and then through my KSL career, interviewing celebrities, movie stars, and so on, I go, good heavens, how do you do it? You mentioned the demands, but not just even the demands, the temptations as well. Good grief. I don't know how anybody can resist all that stuff and the honors that go with, you know, taking those. Mm-hmm. Steve and I have talked about this. Well, you know, finally she was brave enough to do this performance, and you go, brave enough? You know, is that really the right description of just kind of caving in?
And that's what they think. And you really can't blame the world for being the world.
Yeah.
You know? And the issue is that they can't stay away from the temptations. That's the point. And that's why you need God to step in. And until you make the decision of having him as Lord and Savior, then basically you're at the whim of whatever the world provides, because you're in it and you don't even know that you're already taken by it. And so right now, when we talk to Michelle and what's happening with the film festivals and the film festivals around the nation now,
right,
there's an atmosphere shift that's happening, and that people are realizing, no, they don't have to sell their souls. They don't have to give in. There's another way, and God is providing through, you know, the means of people that have given themselves to him.
Yeah. Boy, Michelle, I can see where Cameron fits into this film
right.
festival. And we need to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. Can you hang in with us for a second?
Absolutely.
More?
The Movie Show.
You probably think this world is a dream come true, but you're wrong.
On KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show. You know what would really be a great show is when we do The Movie Show Unplugged.
No. Yeah.
And we do all, instead of the normal stuff, we just, what we talk about off the air.
I know, it is kind of interesting.
Interesting is one word for it. That's so true.
Entertainment at its finest.
At its finest.
And then to still have a show after that.
That's right. That's the whole
thing. That's a miracle. We've been doing this together for over 26, 7 years.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Do you realize the movie show's been around in some rendition? You know, because it started off as just a little short feature. Trolley Square Cinema mm-hmm. would sponsor just like 2.5, 3 minutes. And we just talk about with Chris Hicks at that time,
right.
you know, what was coming out that week. And then it just grew like
what
a
year
virus.
Was that?
1985. And
I was in junior high, Steve, just to put you in perspective.
I was barely born.
Yeah, right. In this life.
In this life.
And then, that's right. He's an old soul. What can we say? But, you know, and it just grew like topsy, like a virus. And here we are today, despite everybody's good judgment. Hey, Michelle, we have got to talk about the festival itself,
yes.
the involvement that's still for We Mere Mortals is still available.
We have your All Fest passes all ready for you. Just come on down to the Sierra and you're set. So we have
you should have led with that.
That's right.
Changes everything.
Do you think she should have told us that a year, maybe three days ago?
No.
Notice how she doesn't tell us until it's almost open. Oh, by the way, you guys had passes.
Hey, we're passes. Here, you know. We're here now, Doug. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well,
it's
good. We'll take that. You'll awesome. Take that. So, but it's going on for today, tomorrow.
Today and tomorrow, yeah. So today and tomorrow we have all of our panels and workshops that are taking place, presentations up in our room that's dedicated for that. And Cameron is going to be speaking tonight on Christ Over Career at 5 p.m. there at the Sierra. But we also have other features, you know, in programming. Tonight, Garrett Batty, who we know from Sarah Top, right?
Great filmmaker.
Amazing filmmaker. His new film that's in the festival called The Carpenter is premiering tonight at 7 o'clock, also there at the Sierra. Rob Diamond has a movie in that's playing. We have Casey Elliott's in a film tomorrow called The Devil's Men that's going to, you know, be playing. And our short film blocks are phenomenal. And there's something for everyone. Like, we've got just some fun, quirky, you know, humor. And then we have some kind of thriller-type shorts also this year. Lots and lots of filmmakers. We had 115 submissions that we accepted. Programming is over 85, you know, just different blocks. It's
right.
amazing. It's a fun atmosphere.
Right. Cameron, I want to talk about what you're working on off the air. Again, we were talking about some of the projects. But before we do, we need to do the most important thing. Introduce us to your wife. Tell us about her.
My phenomenal wife. That is God's gift to me, BJ Arnett. You know, she is my greatest cheerleader and the one that God saw fit to say, you know what, that's the help that's meet for you. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing in my life other than Christ himself that is as great.
Well, just the fact that she would join you here shows what a great woman, that she would actually subject herself to the movie
show. She was
show.
Nodding to most of that, by the way.
She was nodding to that?
Yeah,
okay, good.
Yeah. Right. She must love you a lot.
That checks out.
Yeah, she does. I mean, she does. She makes sure that I know it every single day. And I think some of the things that you have to go through in life, yeah. you know, there are people that just make it possible for you to be able to still breathe. And, man.
Yeah. That's
I'm grateful.
Good for both of you.
Tell us what you've got coming up this year, because you've got a lot of projects.
This year alone, I have at least 5 films that are coming out. One is a television series called Eleanor's Bench, and that's going to be on PureFlix. We have one that we a pilot that we have just done called Love in Secrets that we produced and directed. That's going to be showing at a festival, and then of course moving on to the series itself. Grace by Night, and again, my lovely wife, please remind me of anything else that I forget, but Grace by Night is a film that I'm in also that's premiering now in a festival and also coming out this year in July. And we have Running the Bases, of course, is out now, and it's just by leaps and bounds growing. So that's just a few things that are happening. And now coming up this year also, I will be the lead in the next Kendrick Brothers film. And so that's going to be being shot this year. And so we're looking forward to that phenomenal Men of God.
Boy, just getting to know these folks, I can just see the natural connection. And again, talking off the air a moment ago, I want to get this on the air. You know, we're talking about are there any of their great films in this year's and not, but you seem to be optimistic about next year.
I am incredibly optimistic. So we met in Orlando in November. And it was just an undeniable feeling that they needed to come to Utah and they needed to experience and meet so many of our amazing cast and crew, our producers, our directors, you know, just that network that we have here in Utah. And in addition to, you know, what they already have on their slate and what's going to be happening, I'm hoping that they can chat with our other directors that are here and our producers that are here, because the way that the roles that Cameron plays, I think, just ignite and rekindle fires within us to be, you know, people of faith and of light and telling, you know, storytelling. We talk about storytelling here all the time. And so that's why we want people to come down to the festival, meet Cameron, meet BJ, and just enjoy the camaraderie that we have in our community there at the Sierra.
BJ, Cameron, what a pleasure to meet you guys.
Same here. You know, one of the things I do want to piggyback on what Michelle just said, one of the things that happens with Christ Over Career, but in life as a whole, as a filmmaker, especially on the Christian side, is that it's more important how we treat each other than the messages that we put on screen. The whole thing is about now not only having a message that will change people's lives, but people being able to view us and how we interact with each other and let that life that we live be something that can actually be inspiring to them. So that's something that's happening here and one of the reasons why we're here. And so we want to make sure that people see it, not just hear about it.
Thank you so much, all of you, all three.
Our best to Marshall, too.
And you know, we love
listening.
Her. Yeah, we love her husband, Marshall. He's just
he's
been
a character, that guy.
Boy, when it comes to, you know, film in Utah, you know, from the film commission to the festivals to everything else, and, you know, enabling us to go up to the Utah Film Studio and do some of the movie shows during the Sundance Film Festival, it's
even trying to break into the Yellowstone scenes.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
he was all over us like a dog. Man.
There was something about, you know, when we brought in the grappling hooks to, you know, go over the top. And, you know, Marshall was just breaking out in his sweat. And I think he mentioned something about, you want what happened to the goat to happen to you?
Oh, wow.
We're
need to know more
to
about this goat.
Yeah, that's right.
I think the goat wants to let it go.
That's right. Maybe. Hey, thank you so much for joining us here. And best of luck with the festival this year. And say hi to Carol.
The Movie Show. It's a fake laugh. It's real. On KSL News Radio.
So much fun to meet the Arnetts.
Oh.
Yeah, just
Delightful people.
Delightful folks. And then, of course, the Moores we've known for
Michelle.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, what are you saying here? You
know? No, I love Michelle.
Okay. It is medical. Steven, should we do a little streaming news here?
Sure.
All right. Here we go.
Planning on a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Doug and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Reviews and news here. Guillermo del Toro, he cleaned up at the Oscars on Pinocchio. We yep. predicted that he would. And that movie did very well with our cadre of critics. You know, sometimes you and I are the outliers, but that one I kind of agreed with. I mean, if you just wanted for fluff, pardon me, but just the crowd pleaser, it was Puss in Boots.
Oh, that made a ton of money.
But if you're going for the artistic, and it surprised me how good this movie was, Guillermo del Toro with Pinocchio. Yeah, it was really, really good. And now, how about Frankenstein?
Yeah.
He's going to take on Frankenstein at Netflix, and it has big names in this classic horror story. I mean, how about if I said something like, well, what about Andrew Garfield? What about Oscar Isaac? What about Mia Goth? All said to be in the early talks to star in this project. And right now, Del Toro is working on the script and will be directing the movie himself. And I didn't really see a projected date. I think we're still so early in it, just kind of in the
announcement. Netflix usually doesn't announce their premieres right. very early.
But that's cool. I'm actually looking forward to that.
Those of you who are Monk fans, remember?
Oh, yeah, Monk.
You got Monk?
The Monk reunion.
Tony Shalhoub returns with his obsessive-compulsive detective in, here's the name of the, Mr. Monk's Last Case, : a Monk movie.
Yeah, a Monk movie.
In case there's any question. That's going to be for Peacock. The original cast is returning, and it is set in a case in present day. And again, like Netflix, there is no, or Peacock, sorry, no date set for the premiere yet.
Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey reunite for a new Apple TV Plus comedy series. And the former True Directive co-star Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, they're going to be in this. And I have to admit, you know, I've become a believer in Woody Harrelson. He still does outrageous things that kind of make me crazy.
Yeah.
But I think I've really come to appreciate, you know, what he actually does. Apparently, this is going to be produced by Skydance Television. Executive producers, it just goes on and on and on. They've kind of got the headliner list. The news was announced after Apple TV Plus and Skydance, you know, had another project of Reed Title, the Big Door Prize, and so on. So anyway, this,
by the way, the Big Door Prize, I've watched the first episode.
Have you?
It is weirdly cool.
I'm trying to think, have we ever seen Matthew McConaughey or had them together in a project? I couldn't boot
one. Well, they, True Detective.
Yeah, but I mean, like a major movie or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, well, no, but McConaughey's the voice of Agent Elvis.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. So, anyway, it'll be interesting. I'm trying to see any dates on this one, and I'm really not. So, True Love, not hard to detect. Huh. Okay. Anyway.
Keri Russell, we love her. She was the mom in Cocaine Bear.
Oh, not only that, but Waitress.
The American Waitress.
Oh, that was the sweetest little movie. I love that movie.
She's got a new series coming out on Netflix called The Diplomat. This one does have a premiere date, and it's next month, April 20th. 8 episodes. She plays the U.S. ambassador to the United Kingdom. It sounds a little like Madam Secretary-ish,
yeah.
which I loved.
Right.
So
right.
I hope that's the case.
April 20th?
April 20th, Keri Russell, The Diplomat on Netflix.
That's Hitler's birthday.
Why do you know that?
I don't know. April 20th, 1889.
Just creepy.
I know. Isn't that weird, the weird things you stones over there laughing?
Shall we have a birthday party? Is that what you say?
I know nothing.
Yeah, you better know nothing.
I know nothing.
Hitler's birthday.
There we yeah, and we will have a good time. Well, Steve.
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
No, that's not a good idea. I don't know. Anytime anybody says that they're doing something on April 20th, I just, Remember
that's
that
just
date.
Weird.
A date that will live in infamy, to say the least. Yeah, got anything else for us, Stephen?
Well, just a recap of what's going on right now. Poker Face just wrapped up their first season. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Shrinking, if you haven't been watching Shrinking on Apple TV+, it is so good and so funny. Extrapolation starts this week. It's interesting, but it's too early to tell whether it's going to be good or not. Agent Elvis is an animated series that's on right now. And started today with Matthew McConaughey, but it is whacked. I mean, the whacked. Language is off the charts, and there's a lot of blood, animated blood. But the stories are set in historical things that Elvis was involved in. I thought that was pretty clever. And, of course, Ted Lasso.
Oh, Ted Lasso is the highlight this week.
And The Mandalorian Season 3 is off and running, and we've had three episodes so far, so...
Okay.
There's plenty of stuff.
All right. Just a little dab of streaming info here on The Movie Show at KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show. Quirky Pick of the Week.
Well, the Quirky Pick of the Week. Finally, The Movie Show gets a little class, and Deanne is joining us. And, wow.
Well, we had the Arnett's on. Come on.
Well, yeah, but this hour.
You know, I listened to that segment, and you spoke of the woman who loved her husband enough to come on the movie show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how about tributes to others?
Well, it's a beatitude. you're being, you know, considered for sainthood.
Yeah. Whatever.
Saint Diane.
I think more than that.
What? Now that has a good ring to it, doesn't it?
Sure.
Saint Diane.
I love it.
Of Trenton.
See, you asked for it and you got it, right?
I got it. Yeah. It was less than fulfilling. listen,
I know, we do have a donut behind you.
I know you've talked about the Oscars, and I know, you know, a lot of people are real arrogant about saying, I don't watch award shows, I don't watch the Oscars, I don't see any movies, whatever,
but
we all like movies, yes. We all like award shows, yeah. So I want to give my little take on it. So for everybody out there who's bored with award shows, here we go. Just a little bit.
Well, right? I'll tell you, I have to give kudos to Dee for hosting the event, and then our friend Lillian, who provided kind of the main course, a special soup that she made for us,
nice.
Steve.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of your special soup come our
way.
Yes,
we lately. Love your special soup.
Well, I thought you had, don't you have a freeze-dried
packet? Freeze-dried, yeah. We actually ate that already. So, but okay. We had a good time.
Yeah,
it was a nice event.
It's a good reason to get together, right? And I think even if you haven't seen the movies, our friends hadn't seen most of the movies. The costumes are interesting. It's a little microcosm of the era, of the time, don't you think?
Right.
Absolutely.
And cultural commentary, too.
Exactly,
I hate
yeah.
it when it goes overboard and it becomes ultra-political or something. But the little snarky things and the inside jokes and the way people react to them, and yeah.
I really liked was the heart of it. Yeah. I just felt so many people were so grateful
yes.
for the awards they got and gave such heartfelt speeches.
That's right.
Really moved.
And I agree with you. I think Jimmy Kimmel did a good job. He did it professionally. He kept it moving. They did kind of double awards, weren't moving people in and out too much. And, you know, yeah, there weren't any big slaps in the faces, but but I thought it was well done, and I enjoyed it. My favorite moment of the night
was
Melissa McCarthy's commercial.
Oh, gee.
Do you remember that for booking.com?
Oh,
you might have taken a break during that point, but she
Utah
she had,
actually got a mention in that.
Right. She had like 20 costume changes and wig changes, and she was all these different people booking at all these different places.
We didn't time
that was
it,
your favorite part of the day.
Well, it was.
It had to be 90 just, seconds or 2 minutes.
I said to Doug, what is this, a 5-minute commercial?
Yeah.
It was like
she came back out for the Little Mermaid commercial.
Yep.
Yeah, she did.
That's right.
She did, but anyway, I thought, you know, I was happy Michelle Yeoh won, but that movie never appealed to me, and I have chosen not to watch it. I mean, I've had many opportunities.
Although she worked her tail off.
She did, and she's so classy. I mean, you know, in all of the, she has been in great, and Crazy Rich Asians as a real tough mother, you
know. Well, and back when she did all of her.
The Hidden Dragon.
Yeah. I mean, she's a wonderful actress. So good on that. And I was happy to see Brendan Fraser win. I thought his acceptance, talk about heart.
Oh, he was so great.
Yeah, and John Travolta, you know, doing his tribute.
And I can't remember the name of the gentleman, one of the directing partners, you know, who just came out and said, this is the American dream, you know, that he there were such touching, you know.
And what's his name that got the best supporting actor, the Vietnamese actor?
Oh, yeah.
And I have it here.
And then Jamie Lee Curtis. I thought she was just amazing.
But back to
Ki Hui Kwan.
Wasn't he the child in Raiders of the Lost
He was in the third one.
The third one. Yeah, yeah. The little boy. Yeah. Yeah.
And Short so, Round, I mean, or whatever.
What a story. And Jamie Lee. I mean, I didn't see the movie, but her body of work and her history in Hollywood, I found that very touching also.
You see the look on Angela's face, though?
Yeah, I heard you talk about that. Yeah. And you know, that movie that Angela Bassett was in certainly
Wakanda Forever, Black Panther.
Certainly did deserve the Best Costume Award. I thought that that was
fabulous. And the fact that she was able to carry that film without Chadwick Boseman
was really
you have to be a heavyweight to be able to do that.
So that's the thing. Jamie Lee's character was funny and goofy, whereas Angela's was serious and, you know.
Yeah. Why wasn't she up for leading actress? Why was that a supporting actress role?
That's a good question. That kind of confused me. It's always kind of thrown me off.
Because it was such a big cast?
I guess it's an ensemble cast and not necessarily focused on her.
But I did love one of my favorite awards, the Best Original Song. Now, I'm not into Bollywood music, but I thought that was such a fun production. I want to see the movie. Yeah, we'll watch the
movie.
I thought it was really cute. I was glad. It was different. And the Lady Gaga, I was going, what? Do some more close-ups on her, poor thing. I mean, all of her makeup off and all the close-ups, uncomfortable moments.
Yeah, you know, and I read a little bit. I mean, she, by design, she said, I want this to be raw. I want it to be pure.
She got it.
I want it to just come from the gut. And
I was kind of impressed by that.
I was, too.
Enjoy it? Did you enjoy that song?
I thought the song was kind of a slow song. Yeah.
Just, well, I mean, you can enjoy a slow song.
But compared to one of the other songs, thought it was a...
Why in the world didn't a Pinocchio song Mia Papa when I mean that was the best song by far.
It didn't
so touching.
I just didn't love the song on any level and didn't love her performance. So there you go. I'm just saying.
You going to say anything about Dolly Parton this week, or are you gonna
she wasn't her alone? There. They did not invite her. What was with
I
that?
I don't know. No, I mean, after her Christmas special.
I'm not going to talk about Dolly Parton. I'm not going to talk about Schitt's Creek, but I am.
Well, I'm glad you didn't
there
mention
it is.
That. Because, you know, KSL management just twitches, you know.
But even though I do know that this is the movie show and you talk about movies, you do talk about TV too. And I know that I'm called upon to be the expert for reality TV.
Is that what we're calling you now?
Yeah.
Which is all things Housewives. And I really only watch one of those franchises. But I do watch some HGTV. And do you know what that is?
Yeah, no. Sure.
Okay, what is it?
It's Home and Garden television. Okay.
Something like that.
Every time I walk into the family room / kitchen, a cooking show is on every
Well, I love
time.
The cooking. I love the kitchen. Yeah. It's on the weekends. And
I love Cook County Kitchen.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
She's into the Pioneer Woman.
Is that on Food Network or is that on?
No, that's on PBS.
Oh, PBS. Well, that's, you know.
Sorry.
Esoteric of cooking. Uh-huh. I kind of like blood and guts cooking.
Oh, that's good stuff.
This isn't about cooking, though. This
what
is
are you,
the,
like, Pitmasters?
That's the Food Network. This is HGTV, and it's about house remodels, house flipping, house selling. Yeah. There are two I've been watching lately, and I just want to mention this out there if there are any people that do like these house shows. These are kind of fun. One of them's called Houses with History.
That's kind of cool, I have to admit.
It has two seasons. It's set in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and this couple who's really into the history of houses goes to these really, now I know, really old houses, like, you know, set back to the...
Oh, early 1800s.
Well,
you know,
1600s.
And, well, some of them way back there. But, you know, in the 18th century, which would have been in the
1700s.
But the one that she kind of got my attention on, it was a house built like 1820 or 1823. But it went forward on who had owned it, the Delano, different people like that, you know. But they got to the magic moment for us. The guy that lived in that house... he used parts of the property, the barn and so on, for different things related to his business, which was running movie theaters.
Oh, cool.
It was fascinating.
Yeah, so the whole Houses with History premises, they go all the way back to the original owners, which wouldn't be modern like Utah. I mean, it's practically back to the Salem witch trials, you know, because of where they're located. So it's fascinating from a historical perspective.
I actually have not seen that show. I've seen all the other shows, you know, the Property Brothers.
Right. Then there's another one that I've been liking lately that's in its second season. No, this is in the fourth season. Houses with History has two. This is called Rock the Block.
Rock the Block.
And
I've
they
seen
take
some of that.
They take four teams of stars, the ones like the Property Brothers or the people that you might know, Sarah and Brian, what's their name from the island, and they give them four identical house bases, and then they each design differently.
Yeah.
Now, to me, that's unique because they're all starting the same place, and they'll do the kitchens 1 week, and they'll do the front 1 week, and they'll do the bedrooms 1 week. I find that to be a little bit of an interesting perspective. So if you like those type of shows, those were ones I didn't know, and I've just stumbled on lately. So.
Always expanding our horizons.
Nice.
Rock the Block, Houses with History, and, you know, my theories on the Academy Awards, for what it's worth.
There you go.
Yep.
Dee, good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you, Doug.
Who's taking care of the grandkids?
I got to go get some more.
Exactly. Got to go pick up Conrad right now.
Get some more.
Yeah, yeah, we're super grandparents this week.
Oh, you guys are really doing a great
crazy
job.
Crazy. Thank you, Dee. All right, Stephen, we need to talk about a movie. We've talked about Shazam, and we've mentioned some others, but which one should we do? Should we do Moving On?
No, I'd rather do Boston Strangler.
Boston, that's on streaming.
Yeah, but it's the best movie out there.
Well,
Moving On is horrible.
It's not on film.
Okay, whatever.
Of course, nothing's on film anymore.
I know.
every now and then you get a diehard director who still, you know, shoots on film.
Well,
but
the best film
not.
Movie out there is Blueback, which is not even on our list.
It's not. Well, should we do it? Do we have sound on it?
No, I don't think so.
Well, talk about Blueback.
Okay, this is set in Western Australia on the coast. It's a mother and daughter movie. Roger Mitchell is the mom, and I can't remember the young woman's name, but they go through various times of their life. The coolest part was when she's just a little kid. She just turned 8 years old, little girl, and the mom took her out in a boat, said, okay, we're doing the deep dive. And she took her ring off and threw it overboard and made her daughter dive down to get it.
Oh, wow, there's some incentive.
And so it's kind of like a tough love moment, but the little girl is terrified, but then she goes down, retrieves the ring, and she's so happy that she's done it. It's that cool moment where a kid actually succeeds at something that they thought there was no chance.
Right.
So that whole Bay Area is under, and now, so years later, she's now, the young girl is now a marine biologist. She's, you know, they're looking at the reefs out there that are all dying and pulling up little pieces and trying to figure out how to save the reef. And then it goes back in history to her mom, and her mom was so cool. She's an activist. But this is one of those movies where, you know, it has an environmental message, but it definitely does not beat you over the head.
Beat you over the head, yeah.
She's just trying to protect the local fish. This one guy's trying to develop the area. Eric Bana is in this as a local seaman who he's just a goofy guy that, you know, he comes in, pops in once in a while. It's just such a sweet little movie. It reminded me of that the Pelican movie that we saw maybe a year or two ago Australia.
Yeah.
It has that same kind of feel to it. It's just a charming movie with the local indigenous people plus the people, you know, Australians are always so colorfully cool.
Yeah.
And then how they're trying to protect the bay. And it's just that movie. I just felt so good watching that film and seeing the interactions with all the people trying to protect their little part of the world.
That's cool.
And it's called Bluebird or Blueback. Oh, the reason is there's a grouper that she sort of befriends, the girl does.
Yeah.
And, you know, like they hang out and she go down there and they'll, you know, like
that's cool.
Swim around each other. And I mean, this thing is gigantic.
Yeah.
You know, groupers can get to be hundreds of pounds. So it's just a delightful little film. It's only in theaters. It's only in some of the megaplexes, actually.
Great.
Blueback.
Okay.
PG, sweet as could be. This is the gem that I've been waiting for a while.
Let's talk about Moving On really quickly here before we do the news at the bottom of the hour.
Sure.
What do you know about Moving On?
Moving On is the Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin working together again. There's a funeral for a friend. They go, and she tells the husband, I'm going to kill you.
All of a sudden, this is ringing a bell. For some reason, Moving On, I've seen this.
Yeah, I thought you had.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's sort of played as like a dark comedy, but when you realize what actually happened, it is so disturbing that it takes you out of that comedic moment, and you're thinking, holy mackerel, this is serious.
Yeah, we're talking Me Too type stuff.
So the tone shifts really threw me off.
Yeah.
I love both of them, of course. But this is an awkward movie for them, I thought.
And Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, he's easy to dislike in films.
Yeah, he's had his moments.
And you really dislike him in this film.
Oh, yeah. He's a complete jerk.
And they're supposed to be, like you said, it's supposed to be a dark comedy. Yeah. I don't know why Moving On just wasn't ringing with me. But, you know, Dee and I watched this, and, you know, and we're fans of Jane Fonda. We're fans of Lily Tomlin. And there are a lot of other cute, you know.
And there are moments in the film.
Yeah, but I'm with you on
this.
Yeah,
I thought it was a misstep.
Geez, all of a sudden it just went ding, ding, ding. And,
and that's when, Moving On is in, that's in theaters.
Okay, Moving On.
Rated R, by the way.
All right, let's think in that it's time, Stephen, for maybe a little telephone torture.
Oh, here we go.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone torture.
Three Stooges, which somehow makes a lot of sense.
Boy, that does.
Okay, now, we're going to do telephone torture a little different right now. Gustavo's going to clear all of the phone lines, and we're going to kind of make you sing for your supper just a little bit. And the theme of today's telephone torture, with fabulous prizes worth up to dollars from the Megaplex Theaters, the two movie tickets, the two drinks, and the tub of popcorn, we are going to test your knowledge on this. Here we go.
It's the movie show.
Acting.
Genius.
Thank you.
Name that actor.
Okay, you got to name the actor in the sound clip. Now, the movie will not suffice, but and you will have a very short period of time to think about it because, you know, we're not going to, you know, give you time to go to the internet machine. And so you're going to have to know your stuff. Now, the number to call is KSL Talk, 575-8255. And here we go. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask Gustavo to get our first potential winner on the line right now. And let's find out who that person is. Hi, who's this?
Jerem.
Jerem, how are you?
I'm feeling lucky. It's St. Patrick's Day, right?
Of course it is. Sure, Bigura. Absolutely. So, okay, you ready for this? And we're going to give you about 5 seconds to think about this. You know, one, two, three, four. It'll go quick.
All the way to five.
So, Gustavo, I'll just let Gustavo decide which one we're going to go with. Here we go.
I could win a sit. Skip to beat instead of losing lunch. Isn't he beautiful? He's new. I've never seen him before.
Ooh. Okay, who is, in this case, the actress? And you've got 5 seconds.
Man, I have no idea. I mean, I don't even know the movie. I'm sorry, Doug. I'm not lucky today. I'm a big loser.
You are a big loser because that was National Velvet and Elizabeth.
I had no idea.
Elizabeth Taylor. So you're our first victim, but you have an honor kind of in this new format of being the first loser. So that's something to be awfully proud of. Right, Gustavo? Hit that button.
I'm a loser.
All right. Okay, let's go back to our phone line. And
I have no idea.
Hi. Oh, didn't you really?
No.
Oh, I would have known that one. Okay. Now, let's go back to the phone line. And hi, who's this?
This is David.
David, are you ready to play telephone torture? Name that actor.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Okay. Now, this one is a much newer movie. And I think that you will get this one. So, you know, you never know. Although, see, I would have gotten the one before. So, all right, here we go. Go ahead, Gustavo, push the button.
Oh, no! No! No, no, no! Oh, stupid adult hands!
Okay, so, tick, 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 and...
Well, I guess I'm a loser. I don't know.
Oh, that was from Shazam. Zach Levi.
I should have guessed.
You should have guessed that. Those stupid adult hands. Okay, Gustavo, let him have it. Lots of time for losers on this show.
These are tough.
These are kind of, but this one is a franchise that is relatively new, this next one. And I really think, especially you, will get this one, Steve. So let's go to the phone line and find out. Hi, who's this?
This is Michael.
Michael. Okay, Michael.
How are you?
We're doing well. Are you doing well?
We're about to find out.
We're going
to
find out. Okay, now, all right, Gustavo, I want you to play the next cut. Here we go.
Your focus determines your reality.
Ooh.
Oh,
ooh, Steve
that
got
one's
it.
Really hard.
Really hard. Okay. Who do you think that actor is?
No idea. Man.
Ooh. From Star Wars. Steve does this cheesy imitation every week. Well, okay. Yeah. Here we go. Here we go. Gustavo, let him have it because you are a...
Oh.
You're a loser. Yeah.
Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser.
That's George C. Scott.
That was George C. Scott. It was Liam Neeson.
No, it wasn't.
It was, too. From Star Wars. Jedi, you know? Okay. Now, this is going to be the last one. And I'll tell you what.
Ever?
Well, see, we're experimenting with. No, yeah. This is good stuff. These are classic movies. So, but I will tell you, this one, I'm going to give one hint on this one. One hint.
And it is?
This is the biggest money-making movie in history. And this...
Is that based on...
And this, it's based on real ticket sales.
Okay.
You know,
I hear you.
All right. And this person was the first person from her background to win an Academy Award. So let's go to the phone line. All right. We're going to refine this a little bit. Hi, who's this?
Oh, hello there. It's Joshua.
Joshua, okay. You've got a big task ahead of you, and you're only going to have 5 seconds to name this actress. Here you go.
If you don't care what folks says about this family, I do.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, my gosh. I'm 18. I haven't seen much classic movies. I am so sorry.
Okay. It was Hattie McDaniel from Gone with the Wind.
That one I knew. But
Steve would have gotten that one.
He's 18, that poor kid.
Well, hey, you know.
He's probably. Well,
I hate to break it to you, but you're a loser. Okay.
Yeah, at least I'm on this, so, hey, at least it's not all that bad.
All right.
You know, we had new meat today.
Let him have it, Gustavo.
Oh, I'm such a loser.
Okay. Now, Gustavo, Steve and I are going to review a movie here, and I want you to come up with something really cool, easy, because we got to have a wiener. So we'll come up with a real good one. I mean, you know, it's something that everybody should know. Because we've got to have a winner on the movie show.
That would be good.
You know, we can't just have losers.
Blake will lose his mind.
I know. The fact that we're actually, you know, making people kind of sing for their supper, I think
no,
is
No, the
great.
Fact that we've had four sad losers.
Oh, we've had more than that in the past. So, okay. So we'll wrap this. But let's review a movie.
Yes, please.
And you've been dying to talk about Boston Strangler.
I
so
have.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
All right. Do we have any sound from Boston Strangler? Okay, just go ahead with it.
Okay, Carrie Coon and Keira Knightley are two female reporters. Carrie Coon was in the Gilded Age, and she was also in the early season of Fargo. Keira Knightley has been in all the pirate movies. We know who she is.
Right.
The thing is interesting about this is that one of them was doing the lifestyle section, you know, cute little kid shows and rate that toaster kind of thing, and she's doing background on these women that are being killed in Boston, right, and figures out a connection between them. And her boss, played by Chris Cooper, says, no, you stick with the lifestyle section. You know, we got
right.
These guys out here in the bullpen have been doing this forever. But she was able to figure it out. And with Carrie Coon's help, the two of them, Loretta and Jean, these are actual people, they came up with the idea of who was doing this and did all the research. This reminded me of the movie with the priests.
Spotlight.
Spotlight.
Yeah.
In that journalistic endeavor to try to figure out who was killing these people. It is really well done. It is historically accurate. And unfortunately, at least for theaters, it's only playing on Hulu. But wow, what a movie. What a great cast. And what a great little thriller. If you like true crime, this is the one to see. Boston Strangler, rated R. On Hulu only.
On Hulu only.
Yeah, and I gave it a B+. I mean, it is really good.
The Movie Show.
It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not whole at all.
On KSL News Radio.
And this is kind of part of the twisted donut on the movie show. And this is Telephone Torture. Yeah, lots of holes in the movie show, no doubt about it. But we're continuing our Telephone Torture. And remember, today it is Name That Actor or Actress by just listening to the voice. So let's get another victim, I mean potential winner, on the line. And hi, who's this? Hola.
Too scared.
Too scared. Going, no, I didn't know who Hattie McDaniel was.
Too much pressure.
Hi, who's this? Hello. We've been abandoned.
Well, that's one way to clear the lines.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Gustavo, are there people on the line here? I mean, it shows that we do, but we're not pushing. So all the lines. Should we try another one? Just try another line. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Are you ready to play? What's your name?
My name's Sarah.
Okay. Are you ready to play Telephone Torture? Name this actor. Are you ready?
Yes. I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Listen closely. Here we go.
It don't matter if I lose this fight. It really don't All matter right. if this guy opens my head.
Okay. Who is it?
I'm going to try with Sylvester Stallone.
Ding, ding, ding. You are a big, fill in the blank, wiener.
Wiener. I'm
you, are
winner,
a,
right?
You are a big wiener. You've won fabulous prizes worth up to dollars on the show today. Two tickets to the Megaplex Theaters, and you've won two drinks, and you've won a tub of popcorn. Congratulations. Great to have you as a wiener on the new rendition of the Telephone Torture.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now, you know, we did have some losers today. And there's one person that can make losers feel better about being losers, and I'm sure you know who that is.
Tell me, who is it?
Frank Sinatra.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All day.
There we go.
She'll agree with that.
There we go. We love those losers here on the movie show. They fit right in. Another rousing rendition of Telephone Torture on the movie show. That was fun. There were a lot of folks that joined us that we haven't chatted with before and put a little of your skill to work on that one. So, all right. And a big thanks to the Megaplex Theaters for sponsoring Telephone Torture. Stephen, we have another couple of movies that we need to talk about. Okay. And just very quickly, and we can do this one really quickly, Turn Every Page. You know, this movie opens with them showing the book The Power Broker that is on every influential person's shelf known to mankind. And we saw a lot of people's shelves during the pandemic.
Which says a lot for the people that have read that book.
Yeah, very cool. It's called The Power Broker. It's all about Robert Moses, who basically, while we might have had mayors and commissioners, he was the guy that really made New York, and especially the infrastructure, you know, everything from bridges.
Tore down
and,
neighborhoods.
You know, yeah,
I mean, there was some serious controversy.
Exactly. But, you know, and then the same author, you know, Robert Caro, who went ahead and wrote, he's working on the seventh volume right now, isn't it?
Five.
Oh, the five, that's right. Five volumes of LBJ, and I have several of those volumes in my library, but every great writer needs a great editor, and that's Robert Gottlieb in this case.
Right.
And his daughter is the one that put this together and wanted these two to be known and the relationship that they had. And I thought this was a fascinating movie, and it's called Turn Every Page. For bibliophiles, people who love political history and just kind of the way things work.
You know what I liked is their personalities were so interesting, especially Gottlieb. He was like, I'm a narcissist and I'm an editor.
I know.
Trying to like get these people to the finish line.
And I'll tell you, he has edited so many incredible names. So that's
a really good watch.
And then just really quickly, Inside. You know, this...
Well, it's a simple story.
Simple. This guy is a burglar and he's got a real team. He gets into this house and he's stealing art. He's had an appreciation of art ever since he was a little boy, but he gets trapped in there.
Yeah.
And the people on the outside just go, okay, we're done. You know,
you're on your own.
And so how do you survive? And so he's eating caviar on crackers. He's, you know, and everything else. And the water's cut off in the apartment. But there's
no gas.
No gas. No. I mean,
there is electricity.
There is electricity. And he can kind of watch the outside world.
Now he's in a penthouse, too. So,
yeah.
All bulletproof glass.
And everything is happening basically below him. And so what do you do to survive and get out? And you watch this movie and, oh, man, it is brutal.
Well, it's Willem Dafoe. Nobody does Going into Madness better than he does.
And basically, this is a one-man show, even though a couple of places you see him in other dreams or whatever with other actors. But
care for this.
I have no desire to see it again.
I actually I just love watching Dafoe just do crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of that.
He does a lot of
crazy
stuff.
And that, by the way, is only at Broadway along with the Turn Every Page. So Inside. Right. And Turn Every Page at the Broadway.
Hey, and by the way, the movie show Top 10, we cut it a little close on the end here. But let's just do the top five here. We have Cocaine Bear, who had a big role in the Academy Awards, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Wow, it is just dying off in its fourth week now, $7 million. Ooh, that ain't good. 65 is the number three movie. Creed 3 is over $100 million now. But Scream 6 is the one that really took the cake here.
And it's done better than any of the other Screams, so you're going to see more screaming.
That's right. Call Climate Services. A big thanks to Scott Call. What a great crew. Hey, that does it for the movie show. Thanks so much for being part of the program today and tonight. When you go home, please make sure that you hug the people you love.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.